scripture is from Luke 13:31-35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for the prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem.'" Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who aren't sent to him. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'"
Thank you so much. Well, last week, a group of folks from our congregation had our final facilitator training for Veterans Healing Circles, which we are hoping to launch next month at the end of April. This is the next step that our church is taking as we continue to focus on Jesus's healing ministry for those who are suffering from moral distress and moral injury, a new ministry that we began in 2022. We began our final training session looking at a table filled with pictures scattered on it, and each of us choosing one picture that in some way spoke to us about our fears or our anxieties. And it was fascinating to see how those random pictures could connect us so powerfully to some of our deepest struggles. Here's the picture that I chose. And for those of you who know a little bit about my struggles with infertility and the adoption nightmare that followed, that selection may seem pretty strange to you. But when I saw it last week, I knew that picture was for me. I not only remembered that painful experience in my life 30 years ago, but also the many times over my life that I have been in the process, both spiritually and metaphorically, of birthing something. And this picture reminds me not only of the joy and the anticipation of new birth, but also the fear and the anxiety, and yes, the pain that comes with the process of getting there. And in some ways, I feel like that's kind of where I am right now, both in my personal life as well as in my ministry. It's kind of like feeling like you're 8 or 9 months pregnant, completely uncomfortable. Amen to those of you who have babies? Okay, completely uncomfortable, wanting to get this thing out of you, but also knowing that it is going to hurt a lot. And there's nothing that I can do to keep that from happening. Yes. Fear of the unknown and the anxiety that goes with it are real. And as much as I'd like to think that I have control over any of that, I have to admit, I don't. And we are not alone. Even Jesus got dang frustrated when folks didn't behave as he would have liked. And though we're not receiving death threats from Herod, as Jesus was, our well-being could be threatened by the idea that if we just try hard enough, if we are just nice enough, if we can say just the right things, life will turn around and go our way. We run around in so many directions. And it's like trying to herd chicks into some kind of imagined semblance of perfect formation. But as you can see from my nephew's video, herding chicks, even when they're crated, ain't easy. Our human propensity for control is perhaps one of the most frustrating aspects of our human brains. And what we desire with our longing for particular outcomes can drive us to exhaustion and distraction. Yes, so much of life's circumstances are completely out of our control. Today, as we acknowledge that life is, as M. Scott Peck says, often difficult and unimaginable, I want to invite you to join me in prayer as we consider God's message to us when control is not an option. Will you join me in prayer? Loving and gracious God, we come before you this day just as we are. Just as we are. And we thank you that that's good enough today. We also thank you for your presence that is with us. And we pray as we continue to stay to consider the words of Scripture and the message that you might have for us this morning. Help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart that is open to you, O God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, our reading for today from Luke 13 is right in the middle of a very long narrative of Jesus' journey from Galilee to Jerusalem and the cross. And in fact, there's 10 chapters that do this. Chapters 9 through 19 are this narrative of this journey from Galilee to Jerusalem. And today's passage lifts up the real anxiety that Jesus is facing as he considers what that journey is going to mean. Our reading begins with some Pharisees that come up to Jesus and tell him about Herod's plans to kill him. Now, while I have to admit, I've never received a warning about an assassination plot on my life, thanks be to God, there have been times when someone says something or something happens that contributes to a sense of dread and despair, and even fear in my life. Perhaps you've had those times too. And so I think it's instructive for us to see how Jesus responds to this ominous threat that he receives. He says, "Tell that fox I've got no time for him right now. Today and tomorrow I'm busy clearing out the demons and healing the sick, and on the third day, I'm wrapping things up." Healing and deliverance were a big part of Jesus' daily work in ministry. It's one of the reasons why over the last 3 years we've been focusing on healing. It's what Jesus did. And he's clear about this mission that he has until it's time to wrap things up, which in Luke's gospel means not his resurrection. That third day is about his crucifixion. And Jesus decides that his attention in the midst of all of this must be focused not on what he can't control, but rather on the mission that God has given to him. And I think herein is one of the important keys that we need to pick up from Scripture that free us from fear so that we can live a life of freedom and faith. And that is to very much first get clear about God's call and purpose for our lives. So I have a question for you. Do you know what God's purpose is for your life? Have you asked God to share that with you in prayer and in study and in reflection and meditation? Every year we offer a spiritual gifts class to everyone in the congregation so that you can have that opportunity to learn more about what God's calling on your life uniquely and specifically looks like. And I hope you'll take advantage of that. Because as we have that clarity about our purpose, like Jesus, you and I can also have the power to choose that purpose over fear. And yet in our reading today, Jesus also does something else that we need to think about as well for our lives. And that is he laments. He laments about the reality he knows that he is going to face in that mission. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killer of prophets, abusers of the messengers of God. How often I have longed to gather you as children like a hen with her brood safe under her wings. But you refused and you turned away. How I have longed, says Jesus. In our text, we find several examples of longing. The Greek word thelo is translated as wish, will, or desire. Telo is what one wants. And we find that word three times in our reading today. First, the Pharisees report that Herod wants to kill Jesus. That's what he desires. Then Jesus tells us that he wants or longs to gather Jerusalem under his wings. Finally, Jerusalem is described as a city that did not want to be gathered by Jesus or by anyone else. And so one of the questions that our reading today raises for us is this: what do we long for or desire? What do we want? Do we want to escape when times get tough? Are we tempted to respond with murderous anger, as was Herod, or rejection, as was Jerusalem? Or do we long to be like Jesus, finding compassion and love, even for our enemies, even for the foxes who may seek to destroy us? In the midst of our fears and anxieties, when so much is out of our control, can you and I find our place to stand in honesty before ourselves and God? This week, I know some of you have gotten Kate Bowler's book, Good Enough, and are doing some of the devotional readings. I hope you are and enjoying those as much as I am. But I also this week listened to Kate Bowler's podcast called Everything Happens, and she has for a reason, and all of the other lies that I have believed, you know, kind of thing. Everything Happens. And she, in that podcast I was listening to, Kate and was speaking with an author and vlogger named John Green on the topic chronic, not curable. And so this comes from Kate, who was diagnosed at, I think, the age of 35 in 2019 with stage 4 colon cancer. And John, her person that she was interviewing, who has suffered all of his life with mental illness. And they talk candidly about suffering and how to support people who chronically suffer. And what they said about helping those with chronic conditions might sound a little counterintuitive to us. For example, for folks who are suffering with chronic illness, saying everything's going to be okay is not helpful. Let me say that again. For somebody that's dealing with chronic illness, saying everything's going to be okay is not helpful. And describing our own suffering and the victory we have over it with somebody that is going through chronic illness is not helpful either. You know what's most helpful? John, who while in his chaplaincy program earlier in his life, asked the question, "What can I do when someone is suffering?" And his supervisor replied, "Don't just do something, stand there." Don't just do something, stand there. You see, no matter how well-meaning there are times when words are not only unhelpful, they can actually be harmful. We may mean very well by what we are saying, but when we're not in that other person's shoes, we cannot know. But that doesn't mean that you walk away when you have nothing to say. Instead, when somebody is struggling with paralyzing fear, whether from a diagnosis or job loss or divorce or addiction, whatever the struggle is, standing with, being with, being a constant and loving presence is what is helpful. Kate says, it's like the miracle of the loaves and fish. It's the multiplication of love that doesn't condemn, that doesn't try to offer quick fixes, but rather just stands with, being there no matter what, that gives people hope. And that's why when you and I are going through those vulnerable, scary times of our lives, when so much is out of our control, it's not time to run away and isolate ourselves. No, it's in times like these that we are called to run towards community. Times when we are called to run towards God. Because as Jesus said after his crucifixion and resurrection, just before he was to be ascended into heaven, he said this, "Know this." Let's say it together. "I am with you always." I am with you always. Jesus is with us when the things that are happening in our life are good and the blessings seem abundant, and when they aren't. And he promises to never leave us. He promises this. Yes, Jesus is with us always. And here's the beautiful thing. As we allow him to do that inner work that leads us to healing, you and I have the opportunity to be Jesus with skin on, to stand with those who struggle, to be with them just as Jesus is with us. One of the powerful ways that our healing circles provide that opportunity is in our commitment to listen, not to give advice, not to provide hacks or quick fixes, but rather to listen with a non-judgmental, confidential, and open heart. And I have seen it happen in every single circle I have been in over the last 3 years, that the healing comes from that kind of love. At the end of his interview, John Green said, "Love is both how you become a person and why." Because here's the thing. When we are defined by the things we didn't choose, by our bodies or by our obstacles or even our own pernicious thoughts, there is a way to feel like you are not eclipsed by these unwanted realities. Love. It's love that pours in and around us, reminding us of who we are. And the act of loving, which shows us how to make our way forward. How to connect, how to dig deep into those soft places and pull out something from it that we can use as gift. Yes, love is both the how and the why. And that brings me back to my picture. Because this image is not just about the struggle and pain of birthing. This picture is also something that God keeps reminding me of, especially during these times in my life that seem out of control. And it is the promise that if I look up, as I surrender my fears and my anxieties to God, there are gifts that I can receive. Gifts of peace, gifts of contentment, and gifts of hope. These are the gifts of God for you, too. For when you and I are honest about our fear, even as we hold fast to our purpose and receive that love and grace into our lives, we become what Henry Nouwen calls wounded healers. Wounded healers who recognize that while we can't control everything, you and I can share love with God, with God's grace in the strength of community. And that is the gift that keeps on giving during the good times and the hard ones. Praise be to God. And so now I want to invite you to join me in this blessing, a blessing to remind you that you are not alone, a blessing when you realize that everyone struggles. And I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to invite you to end it with me. So listen to this blessing. Blessed are you who see things clearly, where struggle is everyone's normal. You walk among the fellowship of the afflicted, a club that no one wants to join. And while this life isn't shiny, it does come with superpowers. Superpowers of ever-widening empathy and courage that gets you back up after another fall. And a deepened awe at the beauty and love that can be found amid life's rubble. Like flowers that grow from the cracks in the sidewalk, these virtues blossom in you. And thank God for you. Let's say this together. Blessed are all of us who struggle, for we are in good company and will never walk alone. We'll never walk alone. And the people of God said, amen and amen.